Chapter 3. The sun shone through the thin curtains and Nia sat up. It was 7 o'clock, but she couldn't stay in bed later than that, even on a Sunday. Back home, she'd have allowed herself a leisurely breakfast, read the papers, walked around the park and lake opposite her house. Chris had always worked through the weekend, always been ambitious. It was how he'd ended up as head teacher. But Nia had never been like that. When her daughter Safi had been younger, it had been their day. They'd go to a museum or art gallery in the town centre, or drive to Barry Island and paddle if it was sunny. Nia saw a text on her phone, another from Chris, and sent a quick answer. After this, she showered and sat at the dressing table to do her makeup. It took time, as she always liked to face the day fully made up. She had been doing her heavy, smoky eye makeup in the same way for years. Chris liked her eyes this way. A lot of mascara, eyeshadow and thick eyebrows. She combed her hair back into a tight bun, gave herself a quick smile, slipped on her old trainers, went downstairs and took her coffee and toast out into the garden where there was a small metal table and matching chairs. It was a dry, crisp spring morning. Blue sky dotted with wispy clouds, just enough warmth to sit outside. The garden was a bit wild, but there were spring flowers peeking through the borders. Sparrows shot in and out of the hedges.
Morning.
The voice startled her. Looking towards the fence, she saw an older man with the sparkling white smile, thick, well-cut grey hair and bright eyes of an afternoon quiz show host.
Hiya.
You must be Nia. How charming to meet you.
He gave a deprecating shrug.
I'm Ian. Ian Robson.
He paused, awaiting a response. Of course, Jade told me you were on the radio. You have a book and TV deal on the cards? The smile broadened. He was clearly flattered.
It's nothing, really. Now, my mission here is to extend a warm invitation to lunch with Lucy and me. We are, of course, vegetarian, but I can promise you a great meal.
Thank you very much. Can I bring a bottle?
He gave a mock look of horror.
Please don't worry. Just bring yourself. We'll see you about 12:30.
At that moment, Romeo came running out of the house. Ian was ecstatic.
A cocker spaniel, my favourite breed. Hello, you.
This is Romeo. My daughter named him.
Fabulous. What a handsome fellow. Now, that colouring is orange roan. Am I right?
Dead right.
He is, of course, invited to lunch.
You're sure?
Of course.
Nia thought it best to take Romeo for a long walk before the lunch. As she left the house, she saw Ruby walking past. She was in similar clothes to those she'd been wearing at the salon, but today she wore a headscarf.
Hiya, Nia said.
Ruby gave the fixed smile.
Good morning, Nia. I hope you are settling into your new home.
Thank you, yes. It's a lovely morning. Are you off somewhere?
To the hall. It's where my religious group, the Righteous, meet.
Of course, Jade told me about it.
Ruby sniffed.
It's not as awful as she makes out.
She then seemed to relax her shoulders. Her voice softened.
Have you heard from Gwen? I hope everything is going okay for her daughter. She was such a wonderful help with Mum.
I can imagine. And I know you spent a lot of time caring for your Mum as well. Gwen said you would have made a very good nurse.
Their eyes met, and Nia saw a kind of desperation in her eyes.
Gwen said that. I never felt I was doing enough, you know. I kept feeling I should give up work altogether. I kept thinking if only I'd prayed harder, lived better, then maybe Mum would have been healed.
She paused, and Nia felt a wave of pity for her.
You must never blame yourself. You did everything you could.
Ruby shrugged.
I wish I believed that. I disappointed Mum in some ways, and that can only have added to her heartache.
She looked down the road, shook her head.
Anyway, I must be off. I assume someone has invited you to White's this evening?
They have. I'll see you there.
Ruby walked off down the road, and Nia followed behind her with Romeo, and then turned left towards the harbour. She kept well away from the edge of the harbour, glancing occasionally at the white yachts jostling side by side. It was quiet, and so far she'd only passed the occasional dog walker.
However, she did see a good-looking young man walking along the pontoon, clearly having left a yacht. He had a large carrier bag in each hand. On seeing Nia, he smiled and greeted her with a polite, "Good morning." Nia eventually turned back, took a short walk through the town, and arrived at the entrance to the pier. Nia had never been along a pier that was so quiet. No attractions, just a long row of planks of wood joined by nuts and bolts with a high metal rail either side. At the end, she could see a small shelter, some fishermen, and she began to walk along with Romeo, his nose twitching, taking in the smell of sea, fish and seaweed. The sea was calm, and to her left she could see a ferry approaching. People were out on deck. Some waved excitedly as they approached the dock. As she strolled along, it struck Nia that piers were a strange idea. Long walks that took you nowhere. She wondered if anyone had thought of carrying on laying plank after plank until they reached the other side. Before going back to the house, she went into the grocer's. There were the basics, but also fresh loaves of soda bread, local honey, jars of olives, and a large variety of cheeses. The range of wine was impressive, and Nia realised it was a shop that catered as much for the yacht owners as the locals. Apart from a few things for herself, she decided that, despite what Ian said, she wanted to take a gift. She walked up and down the aisles. Her usual standbys of wine and chocolate, she guessed, wouldn't be what they would like. However, she found a gift set of locally made condiments, hoped they were acceptable, and took them to pay. "Good day," said the woman behind the till, then, screwing up her eyes, "Now I'm guessing you might be Gwen's niece who has come to stay." Nia smiled. It reminded her of going into the village shop at home. "I am." "Welcome to the island. Gwen asked us to have a loaf put by for you. Do say if you need anything. So, how are you settling into the close?" "I only arrived yesterday." "It's a very tight-knit group there." She held up the condiments. "A gift?" Nia smiled again. "I've been invited to Sunday lunch with my neighbours, Lucy and Ian." "They'll like these. Expensive taste. Lucy and Ian only buy organic. Spend a fortune on a few carrots. Don't go expecting a nice bit of beef and Yorkshire round there, though." "That's all right. I eat anything." "Just as well. They have a book coming out soon, you know. And apparently there is talk of a spot on one of these morning programmes. Keeping fit when you're older, that kind of thing. Ian is loving it. Always likes to be in the limelight." Nia headed back, changed into a pencil skirt, tights and heels, and set off to meet her neighbours. The door was opened by a petite, attractive woman, expensively made up, with beautifully styled, shoulder-length, glossy brown hair. She wore skinny jeans and a white T-shirt, Burberry silk scarf and high heels, and Nia guessed she must be a few years younger than her husband. Lucy smiled shyly, held out her arms, but not wide enough to embrace.
"I'm Lucy. Welcome to the close."
She placed her hands on Nia's shoulders and air-kissed her on each cheek. As she did, an expensive fragrance wafted over Nia.
"I recognise your perfume," said Nia. "Is it romance?"
"Well done, yes. I love Ralph Lauren perfumes."
Nia handed Lucy the condiments.
"A little something."
"Perfect. Thank you so much,"
Lucy replied with a measured smile. She had the charming phrases of her husband, but there was a feeling of her holding back. She glanced down at Romeo.
"Ah, a dog.
I can take him back." "No, no, Ian will love him. Come in."
Nia followed Lucy into the house. It was frighteningly white and clean, with framed collages on the wall, crystals scattered around on surfaces. Nia was glad to walk quickly through the living room to the kitchen and let Romeo loose in the garden. Lucy came out and offered her a glass of chilled, sparkling elderflower cordial.
"I saw you arrive yesterday. You don't have a car?"
Nia explained what had happened.
"What a nuisance for you. When you collect it, at least you have a garage. Like you, we only have one car. Our garage is perfect for us. Ethan and Elvira have a space beside the vets for their cars, But Joe, Richie and Jade have to use the public car park over the road. Nia felt unreasonably smug, as if she'd joined an exclusive club. Gwen told me you've come for a rest. Life sounded as if it had become rather complicated. Nia pressed her lips firmly together, and Lucy quickly added, Of course, all of that is your business. Gwen is no gossip. I have not heard anything from Gwen, have you? Not since I arrived. I do hope all is well with her daughter. We are all very fond of Gwen. Ian appeared. He put his arm around Lucy's shoulder, and it emphasized the difference in their height.
Nia, I thought I heard your voice. Glad you brought Romeo with you. Lucy is a bit scared of dogs, but I'm hoping she'll get used to them. I'd love a Labrador one day. I could take him out running with me.
He kissed his wife gently on her head. I'd better get on with lunch, said Lucy. You take Nia through to the garden.
The garden was very tidy, with raised beds for vegetables and herbs.
We like to grow some of our own produce. You can be sure, then, of the provenance, said Ian. It's one of the things we promote in our new books.
Nia felt she was being either preached to or being sold the book, and was grateful when she heard the ring of the front doorbell.
Ah, there's our other guest, said Ian.
They sat and waited while Lucy answered the door. Nia heard exclamations, greetings. The man's voice was low and rich. She wondered who it was.